The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, Crime Salad listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Crime Salad, where we talk true crime. My name is Ashley.
And I'm Ricky.
So the story that we are covering today takes us to Washington State, where the Keller family lived. Peter Keller, who was described as self-centered, basically dragged his family along a personal journey that turned deadly for his wife, his daughter, his cat, and his dog. And he didn't want to be found. This all happened in the spring of 2012. The Keller family lived in the heart of North Bend, Washington, surrounded by dense forest and towering mountains. Peter, 41, his wife, Lynette, 41, and their daughter, Kayleen, who was 18, lived a life that appeared to be filled with the simple pleasures of rural living on the outside. But beneath the surface of this seemingly perfect life, Peter, the husband and father of this family, was planning a tragic end. Peter began to have this new interest that quickly grew into an overwhelming obsession. Keep in mind that he had always been a bit of a loner, preferring the quiet, secluded wilderness over a crowded backyard barbecue.
One with the trees.
Yeah. So what was this obsession, may you ask? He was fascinated with survivalism. It began with a few books and casual conversations about it. Then it became a stronger interest, focused on preparing for a disaster. Lynette and Kayleen noticed Peter's new interest, but didn't think anything major of it. They more so thought that this was his new hobby. They had no idea that it would be the start of Peter's plan to reset his life and end theirs. Now, it started to become a concern when Peter spent more and more time alone than usual. We know that he was always more of a loner. However, for example, Peter's weekends were no longer spent with his family, but rather in the woods practicing his survival skills. Now, on top of this, Peter Keller recorded a series of videos, basically a vlog. You know, like a video diary that gives us insight into his mindset and preparations leading up to the tragic events. And he did this alone, speaking out his thoughts to the camera. And in these recordings, he detailed his survivalist philosophy, his views on society, and his plans for retreating to a self-built bunker in the wilderness. And he would film his progress on the construction as he created a sustainable living space, all the while hinting that he was preparing for an end of some sort. Keller expressed a desire to escape what he perceived as a society on the brink of collapse and sought to live independently, disconnected from what he viewed as the constraints and the idea of complete independence and self-reliance, seeing it as a pure way of life.
So, like, the video stuff, though, what you said, this was, like, 2012. Like, 2005, 2006, 2007, I mean, those were, like, prime time for, like, Discovery Channel, like, Bear Grylls, Survivor Man, like, Grizzly Man, like, that dude that, like, lived with the bears. Like, I kind of get it, because I even had, like, a Bear Grylls knife, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't video anything, but, like, for a second of my life, I was like, I'm going to live off the land. I could survive in the woods. So I don't know. I don't know if he's influenced by those things, but
it could have been.
It's probably that time frame.
But I feel like it started off as a hobby, like you said, like yeah. How you experienced, but it seemed to really like pull him in, like more on the darker side of things.
Yeah. Not like the Michael Scott, like 5 minutes into the forest, he like cut his pants off and put them on his head.
No, like he built this 20-foot deep bunker into a hillside, and he constructed it using wood and logs and things that he carried to this location.
Yeah. See, that's less Survivor Man and more like end of the world, doomsday theory.
Yeah. And just a couple other things that I found. He actually used this rope and pulley system to pull in these larger logs that he would use to create the frame of like the walls of the bunker.
Pretty creative.
And it was built to last, being that it had a cement foundation and a wood burning stove.
Wow. So that means you have to bring all that stuff out. So like you said, he disappeared almost every weekend. That's probably when he was like bringing supplies out to this place and building this bunker.
Yeah. And this is Washington State. This is like mountainy area. This isn't just like where we live, you know, like
right.
Your backyard woods. Like this is like crazy terrain.
So I don't want to go too far off because we're early in the story, but like, did he have a YouTube channel or something? Like, was he posting these videos or was he just like documenting everything?
I couldn't find his actual YouTube channel if he had one. All I know is that he did these videos and he created almost like this video diary of everything that he was doing, his thoughts, what he was preparing as he was building it, everything. So this was all documented and planned out. And basically he was preparing for the end of the world, but then also like struggling with financial difficulties and things like that.
Interesting. Okay.
Are you ready to elevate your style without breaking the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Quince is set to revolutionize your shopping experience by offering luxury essentials at prices that are simply unmatched. Dive into a world where high quality meets affordability and discover how you can enhance your wardrobe with Quince's exclusive offerings.
What sets Quince apart from the other ones?
Well, all items are marked 50 to 80% less than similar high-end brands, making luxury accessible to more people.
Ah.
Beyond savings, Quince is committed to ethical standards. The brand collaborates exclusively with factories that adhere to safe and responsible manufacturing practices, ensuring that every item is not only luxurious, but also ethically made.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I love that. Quince is not just another brand. It's a movement towards accessible luxury. With its commitment to quality, ethical practices, and groundbreaking prices, Quince invites you to transform your wardrobe and shop with confidence. Experience the perfect blend of style, quality, and affordability. Choose Quince for your next wardrobe upgrade. And oh my gosh, Ricky, aren't you so amazed at the quality that we got from Quince?
It's pretty nice.
Ricky and I added a few things to our wardrobe. I picked out this amazing, super soft fleece zip-up hoodie and fleece joggers in heather gray, and I feel so amazing in them and also comfy, which is a bonus.
It's a good bonus.
And Ricky, you look so handsome.
I do, actually. This is my new uniform. I'm wearing this every day, all day.
He's going to look like a cartoon because he got this comfy flow knit breeze performance tee and flow knit shorts. And you look fire.
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 Fire at the gym. Fire at the breakfast table.
Just please wash them once in a while if you could.
Fire at the Red Lobster.
Anyways, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/crimesalad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/crimesalad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crimesalad.
Go do it.
So we mentioned a few things about this crazy bunker. And even one of the detectives would later say that it was actually quite amazing. This bunker was situated in a dense forest area known commonly as Rattlesnake Ridge. And it was pretty camouflaged. It would have been hard to notice if you were just walking by, wandering along the trail. And this bunker was stocked with supplies like non-perishable foods, water, and other things like loads of ammunition and boxes, firearms, and other things for survival.
Twinkies. They never go bad.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had Twinkies. There are some reports that this project of his took approximately 8 to 9 years.
Years?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say months.
No. There were sketches found in a notebook from 2003 of dreams that he drew out of this bunker and notes about how he wanted a laboratory space to study viruses.
Oh, he's a mad scientist too.
But his family and his friends never knew about this bunker that he had been planning for 8 to 9 years.
Yeah.
They knew that he had an interest in survivalism, but that was pretty much the gist of it.
They assumed he was like just camping or something.
And like I said, rounds of ammunition, like boxes and boxes of ammunition. He was preparing for like a zombie apocalypse.
That's what it seems like.
But yeah, no one knew about this secret bunker that he had been preparing for years. And his wife, Lynette, attempted to keep the relationship on good terms as much as she could because she was noticing this gap between them. She knew that he was into this survivalist thing, but really, she wasn't aware of the extent. But she knew something was just not right with Peter. She would communicate with him, asking Peter to talk to her, asking him, "What's on your mind?" But Peter kept his distance, his mind constantly wandering, fixated on a reality that only he seemed to understand.
Honestly, it just feels like a recipe for disaster. Like, I don't know, you're going to the woods that much, like, and you're not talking. I don't know. It's like if I had like some crazy thought, like you would know about it, right? Like I would be like, "You got to come to the woods with me. You know, we got to build this bunker." Like, it's weird that he just like took it on himself and like didn't
really like even shut everyone out and yeah, like, put this wall up.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
And it put a weight on the entire family. The once warm and inviting home had been replaced with this eerie darkness and silence. Now, each night, Peter would sit alone with his maps and survival gear, formulating a plan that would result in a tragedy. And this became his entire life. It kind of makes you think, was this some kind of cry for help that was silent?
I have no idea. Like, did this guy have a job? Like, did he have like a Monday through Friday job and like the weekends were for survival? Or like, what was going on?
He had actually a really, really good job. He came from a normal family. Like, this is a type of guy that was very supportive of their daughter and wife, and his daughter just graduated high school.
That's interesting because I guess when you're telling this story, it just seems like he's the type of father who's like completely absent, right? Like, it's interesting that he actually was like really involved and like a caring father, right? Yeah.
And it was like a switch went off.
Yeah.
Now, in the videos that we mentioned briefly before, he explains how the family was financially struggling. He once commented on how his wife was draining all of his money. Regardless of this was true, that's what he said and that's what he felt. So I'm assuming that there was a lot of financial tension involved that led him to this desire to live off the grid away from financial stress and, you know, different burdens that life can kind of come up with.
That makes sense. You know, it's not too surprising though. It's a lot of really intelligent people. I've seen like literally a documentary, that's it. But like living off the grid, like you often see like Harvard graduates and very successful doctors and lawyers and things of that sort who actually made a decision to completely just like live off the grid and like they no longer have jobs and they barter and they trade and it's a lifestyle, you know? It's interesting that those types of people are attracted to that life.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I mean, you do you, but the one thing that's not cool is he murdered his entire family.
Like, yeah. There seems to be a lot more like mental health involved in this specific case though.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, not to say that everyone who faces financial difficulty or has an interest in survivalism will turn on their family. It's the isolation part that can become dangerous. You know, sitting with your thoughts alone, not feeling a way out. I feel like that was the turning point and the dangerous part for this family. And personally, I struggle sometimes. And talking about struggles with a family member or a friend or a professional can really help break those barriers that sometimes feel like iron bars. And, you know, you feel like almost humiliated. Like, I feel like Peter could have felt humiliated at this point, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, being alone with your thoughts is really difficult. And that's the importance. Like you said, he didn't really talk to his wife. So, you know, she tried to get it out of him. He didn't feel, I don't know what it was that he didn't feel, but he never spoke to her about it. I mean, talking with a therapist, something like that, like those are all ways to, you know, kind of get those things outside and take in a different perspective.
Yeah. And instead, he did these video diaries where he's literally and figuratively digging a hole, you know, like he keeps going deeper and darker into his thoughts. You know, at first it was just like the survivalism thing, like how can I get out of this financial debt and stress? And then it gets like deeper and deeper. And then your mind starts to go into like this dark
area. I mean, it's a spiral, really. You know, it's a downward spiral.
And that's why I really wanted to do this episode, because this case, it kind of points to the fact that there's a lot of people who are struggling financially. And I feel like it's this like almost taboo subject where people don't want to talk about it. You know, I feel like it should be something that we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, mental health is a huge deal. And we're starting to now just be like, mental health matters. And this is a part of mental health. And this is all that we're, you know, everyone's dealing with financial difficulty at some point. If you have student loans or if you have medical bills, like a mortgage, this is tough.
It is. And even though we're out of school, like, and maybe we have kids and stuff like that, but it's still really hard. Like you have, it's crazy. Like you have your kids' parents, you know, and everything becomes like this competitive thing. And like, no one wants to admit if anything's wrong. Like, I mean, it could be really, really hard to ask for help. You know, it could be really hard to, you know, even admit if something is wrong.
Yeah. So maybe, or maybe not, who knows, but maybe he could have found a positive direction to get himself and his family out of a financial difficulty instead of just letting this inner dark cloud of thoughts take over to a point where he saw no way out. But at any rate, it does not justify the murder of family members.
Not to mention, it may be out of line here, but the fact that he didn't tell his wife, I don't think he talked to his daughter about like that type of stuff. Like, was the bunker like known? Like, did the family know anything about the bunker?
They had no clue about the bunker.
Exactly. And like, I know at the beginning of the case, or I'm not sure if we even said this, but like a lot of people described him as a narcissist, right? It's like, was he even worried about saving anyone else? Was he only worried about saving himself?
Maybe, yeah.
You know, it's weird. I mean, if I had a bunker, I think it would fit our whole family.
Yeah, we can all just like hide out in the woods.
You'd be out in the forest with me, the whole family. Two boys, you, me, the dogs. I'd have dog food,
baby food.
Do I
just shave my legs though?
No.
Okay.
Screw it.
All natural.
Bathe in the creek.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. If Peter talked to his wife and just said, hey, you know, I'm really going through some stuff, maybe Lynette and Kayleen would still be here.
Maybe.
You know, Kayleen was just graduating from high school, and it's just crazy that now she had her whole life ahead of her. So preventing the tragic actions of family annihilators involves a multifaceted approach, focusing on early intervention and support for individuals under stress. Although it may feel like there's nothing that can be done, there's things that you could do, or if you notice maybe your partner is experiencing, you can check out your local community. There may be workshops or seminars. You can do a search for financial counseling in your area or debt relief programs. You can also text 988 if you are in a crisis where you can speak with a professional. But if you're on the other side of things and you're doing well, Maybe check in with your friends and your family and connect with them, even your community, and see how you can help individuals feeling isolated or overwhelmed. And so as we unfold this story, we hope that you take with you the importance of mental health. It's very serious. It can feel like rock bottom sometimes for someone who is struggling. So yeah, let's normalize conversations surrounding mental health so people can feel empowered to seek the help they need.
I agree. It's super important.
Yeah. Now, in the weeks leading up to the tragedy, Peter's behavior grew increasingly erratic. He spent hours, then days in the wilderness alone, mapping, planning, and building. To an outsider, it might have seemed like the actions of a dedicated survivalist. But to those who knew him, it was a stark departure from the usual Peter they knew. In the video diary he was filming, he tried to justify his actions, including the suffering he wanted to inflict on his own family, as necessary steps towards his goal of full isolation from society. He characterized these severe actions as logical outcomes of his views and preparations. In one part of his video diary, he stated, "I'm getting to the point where I just try to live and pay bills and live as a civilian, go to work. It just freaks me out. It's actually more comfortable for me to think about living out here, robbing banks and pharmacies, and just taking whatever I want for as long as I can. At least it will be exciting." Now, Lynette, in an attempt to bridge the wall that was becoming increasingly difficult to deal with, reached out to friends and family, and even Peter's coworkers, trying to see what she should do, and would share his behavior, seeking hope. The conversations were always the same, a mix of concern and disbelief. "He's just stressed," someone would say, trying to find a rational explanation for the irrational. And maybe those things could have been true, but Lynette knew it was something far deeper, far more troubling. He wasn't the same Peter she married. And then the house that was once filled with hopes and dreams and laughter reached an end. Like Peter explained in his video recorded diaries, this was the day that would forever mark the end of the Keller family as the world knew them. It was a day that began, like any other, when Peter Keller took the lives of his wife, Lynette, and his daughter, Kayleen. The realization of how far a person can fall to eliminate their family, their own child, and their wife, and how deeply they can succumb to their darkest fears is so sad and frightening at the same time. Peter, in his misguided quest to survive, committed an unfathomable act, leaving family and friends in disbelief. When he murdered his wife and daughter, Peter retreated to the bunker he had built. His plan was to hide out there and continue to live off the grid, so to speak. But if things didn't work out, he would be okay with ending his life too.
I think what's really weird here, this whole thing caught me off guard. Like, I knew someone was killed, but like, he killed the wife, the daughter. So, you know, I'm thinking family annihilator. But it's kind of weird to me that he didn't plan necessarily to end his own life. You know, he was okay with killing them and living in his bunker.
And stealing from banks and pharmacies and things like that.
Like the stealing from banks and pharmacies and stuff like that. Like before the murder happened, I was thinking like, okay, I kind of get that. Like, it's more fantasy than it is like reality. Like I actually couldn't see life being like that. But like, it's like, you know, the game Fallout, it just came out on Amazon as a TV show. Like that whole idea is like fun. So that's separate. But then the family annihilator, and that would be to just like wipe your whole bloodline off the face of the earth. But he still wanted to selfishly live. That throws me off.
Like people have mentioned, he was narcissistic. Like he was very for himself.
Right.
Like maybe he didn't even think of his family as family. Maybe they were just like objects, like kind of like in the way of what he wanted to do.
See, what's weird to me is like if it's the family annihilator situation where he's embarrassed about, you know, whatever, like the shortcomings, the income, blah, 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 his failure. Like, why wouldn't you just like fake your own death, disappear. Honestly, like even the dude in Tiger King, like I don't know if he faked his own death or whatever, but like he was like, I have to go to Puerto Rico. And then he just like never came home and people assumed he died. Yeah. Like, why do you have to kill people?
And their cat and dog, like why? Like, let them go.
Just pretend they're not around. I don't know. I guess this is the thing that I always get caught up on is like, it's probably deeper than that. It's more mental health. It's more, you know, the dude wasn't right. You can't really justify it.
Maybe you've always dreamed of selling your custom coffee blends online, or you want to sell some cool merch, maybe cute candles. Let us introduce you to our friend behind the scenes, Shopify. With a few clicks, you've got your online store up and ready. You will be amazed at how easy it is to set up a store. This is the kind of growth Shopify facilitates. It's not just about getting bigger. It's about reaching further and making your business dreams a viable reality.
Do you have dreams? I know I do.
Toggling between different websites, spending hours building a website, and ugh, what a headache. And we definitely faced our challenges with that. Now, fast forward to today, we are selling exclusive limited edition Crime Salad merchandise, from sleek hoodies to quirky mugs branded with Crime Salad art.
A work of art.
And guess what? It was so easy to set up, all because we use Shopify.
Ricky. Oh.
Well, Ricky set it up, but yeah, Shopify. No matter the size of your growth goals, Shopify equips you with all the necessary tools to take charge, to elevate your business to greater heights. Because businesses that grow, grow with... Ricky!
I couldn't remember the line.
Let's try it again. Because businesses that grow with
together.
Shopify.
Oh.
Okay. You get the idea. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/crimesalad. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/crimesalad now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/crimesalad.
Cha-ching!
First responders arrived at the family home after a call to 911 came in from a neighbor. There were also some tips that were called in about spotting Peter's truck at a trailhead. So once they found the pickup truck, they used a trained tracker and followed footprints into the woods, along with the smell of burning wood, and they came upon the bunker. He had also recently told a coworker at a computer refurbishing store that he withdrew $6,200 from the bank and might not return to work.
It's not a lot of money.
No.
So one thing I keep thinking about, like, why didn't he destroy his hard drive? Like, he left all of that evidence on a computer. Like, he's obviously smart enough to know, like, it's going to draw attention. There's going to be an investigation.
I feel like he wanted someone to find it for some reason, but I mean, I'm not 100% because we don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But it does seem that way, doesn't it?
Wow. Narcissistic. Yeah.
Now, it was actually intended to be burned down because he had caught the house on fire, leaving behind gas cans throughout the entire house, hoping that the house would be completely burned down. But this safe that held the hard drives was safely stored in there.
Oh, so that's why you think maybe he wanted to be caught.
Because aren't safes fireproof and like weatherproof and waterproof and everything?
Most are. And that, yeah, that's weird. So he kept all the video in that safe on the hard drives.
Mm-hmm. And photos and things like that.
It's weird.
And all of these clues started to add up, and the search for Peter lasted days. And then law enforcement closed in. Along with the blur of sirens and flashing lights, there was a 22-hour standoff, which I'm sure was super scary. If he was capable of killing his family, what more could he be capable of?
Well, not to mention there was rounds of ammunition in the bunker, like it was built for survival, for defense.
Yeah. They were actually afraid that there were booby traps around this bunker.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them.
There were SWAT team members who entered the scene, and they were lowered by rope close to the site by police helicopters. And it was reported that the helicopters made close to 40 different trips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Authorities pumped tear gas into the bunker on Friday, and they heard movement during this time, but nothing happened. He didn't come out or say anything. And then, eventually, the SWAT team used explosives to gain access to the bunker, and they found Peter Keller, deceased, with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head, lying in a pool of his own blood.
Wow. So he knew it was only a matter of time before he got caught.
Some reports say that he was listening to the police scanner and he knew that he was, yeah, going to be caught. But also with the sound of law enforcement, tear gas coming into your bunker, and law enforcement also tried to talk to him through a megaphone, or I guess it's called a bullhorn.
A bullhorn?
Yeah, I guess that's, there's a difference between a megaphone and bullhorn, and I learned that through this episode.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Basically, it's the same thing.
That's what you learned?
But electronic.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It, like, you hold a button in, and then it,
okay,
you know, does that. Bullhorn.
So, like, a cheerleader would hold up
a megaphone. You think it would be the other way around, though,
yeah.
Like a megaphone.
You'd think it would be the amplifier. But, all right.
And they aren't sure when exactly he shot himself, but he ended it all there in his bunker, which he spent hours on.
Like a coward.
Now, the terrain where, now, like we said, this was in the wilderness, and the terrain was incredibly challenging to walk through, which resulted in 4 SWAT team members requiring hospitalization. They experienced dehydration and exhaustion after navigating through the dense forest and muddy terrain surrounding the 2-story bunker.
Wow.
And just to put it into perspective, the Rattlesnake Trail, where this was located in Washington, is described as a thigh burner. The NAY.org website also explains that for the first 2 miles, the elevation is 1,806 feet and another 372 feet in the next mile. So, thigh burner for sure.
Definitely.
I don't think I could do it.
My thighs are burning right now thinking about it.
So you're dealing with extremely steep hillsides.
And rattlesnakes.
Most likely. Upon finding the body, officers used a helicopter to rappel down into the bunker to examine its interior, meticulously searching for any booby traps or explosives.
Did they find any?
No, just ammunition and a bunch of guns.
Okay, wow.
This story, as you can imagine, shocked the local community and raised broader discussions about mental health, isolation, and the importance of recognizing and addressing warning signs in individuals who may be struggling. This was a chilling hunt that soon unraveled a man who was consumed by his own fears and beliefs and saw no other way other than violence and isolation.
Yeah, it's sad, honestly. I mean, if he was struggling mentally, it's sad. It sucks.
Yeah. As law enforcement pieced together the clues, a picture began to emerge of a man who felt cornered by his own mind, driven by fears that overshadowed love, duty, and reason. His bunker, a fortress of solitude, was filled with supplies, weapons, and notes that spoke of a world seen through the lens of paranoia and despair. So yeah, extremely sad case.
Mm-hmm.
The standoff, when it came, was as tragic as it was inevitable. Confronted with the reality of his actions and faced with the world he no longer felt a part of, Peter made his final decision. But this story, as dark as it is, carries with it a glimmer of hope, a lesson that perhaps can be learned. In the wake of tragedy, the community of North Bend came together, not just for the Kellers, but for all of those who suffer in silence. Conversations began slowly, tentatively, about mental health, about the importance of reaching out, of asking, are you okay? And really listening to the answer. It's easy in retrospect to see where things went wrong, to point to a moment and say, there, that's what happened. That's what should have been fixed, you know? But life isn't lived in retrospect. It's lived in the moments, the small gestures, and the words said and unsaid. Now, like we said, Peter Keller, he was described by some of his acquaintances as
you know, very introverted, very reserved, but seemingly ordinary. He lived a life that, on the surface, didn't stand out as unusual within his community. He worked a normal job, you know, had normal coworkers, normal friends, but was just like a little quiet and a little to himself. And his interest in outdoor activities and survivalism was not initially seen as extreme or strange, because many people enjoy this, just like Ricky does. And especially in this area, it's quite popular. However, over time, this hobby seemed to become an obsession, and it seemed to kind of intertwine with his dark thoughts.
Right.
And the transformation of his behavior from seemingly average to someone who can flat out murder his own family and then take his own life, it just underscores the importance of mental health awareness. And it highlights how critical it is for anyone to receive help to talk about these things. And I know we've said it a number of times throughout this episode, but it is just so important. And it can be something that, you know, we can share with others, that we can talk about it and make it a part of our conversations. You know, check in with your friends, ask them, how are you doing? Like, can I help you with something? Or like, make someone dinner, give someone a hug, because a lot of people need a hug, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we're living in tough times, like everyone is.
Yeah. Even us as podcasters. Like, I know it seems glamorous, but it's a little stressful sometimes.
I think it's glamorous for a lot of them, but I mean, we're not really on the giant audience side of it, you know? Like, you quit a really, really good career to become a full-time podcaster.
Which I love doing.
Which you love doing.
It has its ups and downs, just like any job.
Yeah.
Or just like anything.
You know, but I still work a full-time job. And, you know, we've definitely seen changes in the last couple of years with podcasting and revenue. I mean, it's even come down to recently, we've kind of hinted around this and made jokes about it on Instagram, but we recently downsized our house to keep living this dream, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've got to keep the crime salad vibe going.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is. I really hate cases like this, but it's just like one of those cases that kind of makes you feel good, like the aftermath, because a lot of people do come together and a lot of people, you know, realize like, wow, like mental health is just such a touchy thing. And I feel like the human brain is so extreme that anybody can just like, you know?
Well, I mean, it's the life that we're forced to live, the way society is, everything. It's a tough life. Like everybody, literally everybody could talk to a counselor, talk to a friend and benefit from it. Nobody is living a perfect life. Like, we're not designed to be happy all the time, and that's okay. And we can't change the past, but maybe we can prevent the future.
I agree. So one good thing that happened out of this horrible tragedy was that the family established a scholarship fund, and the fund was established at the Seattle Foundation, which will benefit students who desire to attend Redmond's DigiPen Institute of Technology, which was going to be Kayleen's plan. And they found tens of thousands of dollars in the bunker in bundles, and they are hoping to put that money towards the scholarship fund as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So while we reflect on this awful narrative, let us remember both the tragedy and the potential to be better, to do better, to create a world in which no one feels lost or alienated to the point where despair is their only companion. This narrative, while distinct in its aspects, has universal elements. It's a call to action, a plea for understanding, compassion, and transformation, especially in a world that frequently demands our time and energy, our money, and our strength. It is usual for us to be off on our game sometimes, or to be overwhelmed by small or huge things. But if we can work together in this true crime community, I believe that we can make a small difference in some way.
I think so.
You know what really helps me? A good laugh.
And a bath.
And a hug. Can I have a hug?
I did it.
And so as we end this episode, give yourself a challenge. We challenge you to talk to someone you trust or establish a relationship with a therapist. Or maybe if you're on the other side of things, be that emotional support for someone who is in need of a hug. Take care of yourself.